West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento.
ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And they will take you up to 4 o'clock. And then Pacers-Knicks. Game two of the Eastern Conference Finals is today right here on ESPN 1320. At 4:30, coverage begins. Shout out to Joe Brazil. He's working from the home studio today. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. I think that covered all the bases.
I think you did.
Everybody on 1320 AM, hi. 98.5 FM HD2, hello. YouTube, Twitch, hello. Podcast. That's the James Hammond Com Ads and Joe, hello. Free Odyssey app, hello.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
And if you're listening on a... If you're like on a pirating website for radio programs that you can get for free, hello.
Just
listed a bunch of ways you can do this without having to do it so illegally.
And my suggestion
is even illegal?
Just to listen on all of them at one time. Just like
that's what you do when you're at home.
Yeah, just load up all of them. Like I don't care.
All your TVs are on D'Lo and KC. You got it that's on the right. App. You have your car on.
Yep.
You got them.
I know.
Just listening however we can. Hey, I have a thing I want to talk about with the Kings.
I'm here for it.
Just because we talk at the breaks with the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320, and there's just kind of this ongoing discussion about what this offseason looks like and the fringe contender and are they this or that. I think an important thing about the Kings roster is more about what they don't have than what they do have. Because somebody asked earlier about could LaVine and Sabonis, I forget the exact question, but it was about LaVine and Sabonis and can they be a
actually,
winning
I think
duo?
It was a statement that if you have LaVine and Sabonis, you're just a play-in team.
Okay, that was it.
Right.
That statement is not about LaVine and Sabonis. To me, that statement is about what do you put around LaVine and Sabonis. Let's do this. Let's talk about the Pacers. Because I think the Pacers are a team that if you're the Kings, you're kind of looking at and going, okay, we don't have a super superstar in our building right now, although Tyrese Halliburton might be elevating to that, but we don't have that super superstar in our building right now. So how can we build a contender without bending over backwards to get that player?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you look at Indiana, and it's a bunch of dudes. You have a really good backup point guard in TJ McConnell, and then it's a bunch of dudes who are switchable wings, who are dogs on defense. Even if they're not great defenders, they at least try defensively. They're crashing boards for rebounds. Everybody has their role. Like they've built out this really nice team. I think if you took out Miles Turner and I was going to say Tyrese Halliburton, but I think he's so effective as a point guard. If you swapped out Miles Turner for Domantas Sabonis right now, I don't think the Pacers are dramatically different.
No, I don't think so. I think the Pacers' offense is different, and Sabonis isn't a good fit for their offense.
That's fair.
So, I mean,
you might just be torpedoing my entire point.
Well,
but okay, I said the wrong thing. Sorry. If you brought over the Pacers, except for Tyrese Halliburton and Miles Turner, that's where I was going with it.
Okay.
If you brought the Pacers to Sacramento, leave Tyrese Halliburton and Miles Turner in Indiana, but you just drop the Pacers around Zach LaVine and Domantas Sabonis, I think the Kings are just way better.
Oh, as a team. Yeah, I think they would be not way better than what the Pacers are with those players, but
correct.
Way better than they are today.
Yes. I don't think you're just a play-in team with that team with Sabonis and LaVine.
No,
Sons.
Yeah, dude. Okay.
Halliburton and...
So I'll keep saying there's a lot of work to do, and there's a lot of work to do here in Sacramento, because that's where you allowed the other guys to leave the team, right? You allowed Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox to leave the team without a starting point guard, without a answer at the small forward position beyond a soon to be 36-year-old DeMar DeRozan that's only under contract, fully guaranteed for one more year. Like those are problems. Like we can go through and look at the depth at the small forward position for the Kings, which is what we'll do here in a few minutes. But when you get to the fact that your forwards, your three forwards that you have on the roster right now are Keegan Murray, DeMar DeRozan, who not many people believe will be here next year, and Isaac Jones, that's it. Like, there's no other player. No one. Like, Jake LaRavia, free agent. Trey Lyles, free agent. You know, Jay Crowder, free agent. Doug McDermott, free agent. Like, there is not another player. So that's a problem when you're looking at an undrafted free agent rookie. You're looking at, you know, Keegan Murray, who's a legitimate NBA starter, and you're looking at a 36-year-old small forward who's 6'6" and doesn't really play defense anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not the modern NBA.
No.
So what you're talking about bringing on the Indiana Pacers, yeah, the Kings need someone. It brought up Dalton Connect earlier. Okay, yeah, Dalton Connect would play major minutes on the Kings because they don't have anybody. So the job at hand here is to find not one, not two, not three, but four or five forward options, because you realistically only have one true forward option that all of us know will be on the team next year. And that's Keegan Murray.
Yes.
Isaac Jones, non-guaranteed contract. Whether he's here or not, I probably will be here because he's so inexpensive that, like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
You got to take a flyer on somebody. But there's no guarantee that DeMar DeRozan will be here. So that's where, like, the crux of this like, argument is always going to be with the Kings. It's like, it's not just that you're missing one or two pieces or players or positions or, like, the roster build and all that. Like, it's just really bare.
So,
like, this thing's stripped down.
That's one of the things I think that gets, I don't want to say gets lost, but it doesn't get brought up enough. They're not going to fix whatever this is in one offseason.
Oh, probably not.
This is not like, when we're talking about these moves that the Kings can make, this is not hey, if they do these two things, they're a contender next year. Especially when we'll go over wing options, like free agent wing options.
Yeah.
Not great.
No.
Not a great list. Like, there's not a couple of free agents that they can go, yeah, hey, here's our mid-level, and you get 20 a year, and you get a 4-80, and you get the mid-level, and here you go. Like, jump on in, and we have two rotation guys, and now we're ready.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that easy. Like, Scott Perry and the front office are going to have to get creative. They're going to have to make some savvy trades. They're going to have to make some savvy signings where it's a player who doesn't even move the needle. We're talking about, I brought him up before the show, like Braxton Key, a 28-year-old. He's on the end of the Warriors bench, but he's a G League defensive player of the year. Can't score a lick, but he's big. He's physical. He's a heck of a defender. Bring a play. It doesn't have to be him necessarily, but those random guys that if they signed Braxton Key, or a player in that caliber, we'd be like, oh, okay, well, whatever. He might not even make the team. But hey, maybe he worked on his jumper over the offseason and he can reliably hit a corner three now. And all of a sudden you have this guy who can give you 15 good minutes a night. That's what it's going to take more than we can concoct all the trades. You can jump in the trade machine. You go, okay, you move this guy for this guy. And then if you throw in an extra first and maybe you get this guy. And now all of a sudden, like, wow, look, the Kings are contenders. Like, nah, man, that's not happening this offseason.
Yeah.
At least not to be quote unquote contenders.
Even a lot of the players that people like that you really would like the Kings to go after, a lot of them may not even opt out of their contracts. There's some, you know, like people, John Collins. Really, oh, people would love to have John Collins is a $25 million player option for this year. He may opt in. If he doesn't, he's not taking $14 million a year, and that's all you got to offer. Right. And so, like, it's not going to be like super simple to just build out this roster super quick and add the depth that you need to be competitive. You can do it, but it's going to take savvy moves in the offseason. I think you can, like, I'm not going to say you can't do it. You can't improve the roster in one offseason. You can improve the roster. You can get yourself back into like a 5-6 conversation, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be a contender status. There's no way for this team to get a contender status. I mean, you trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I still don't know that this is contender status. Sure. And that's because you're going to have so many other holes in your roster that you can't add the correct pieces.
I kind of, just since you bring up Giannis, not to divert too far from the Kings, but I think there's an interesting team building thing that's happening in the NBA right now. Where, and I think we're seeing a little bit of it with quarterbacks in the NFL, where when Dak Prescott signed his contract, it was just the biggest contract because he was next. That was always the thing with quarterbacks. Whoever's next is going to get $1 million more annually than the guy who signed previous. And that was just the price of doing business.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing that not be the case as much. Where Dak's contract, certainly Deshaun Watson's contract is an outlier. Dak Prescott's contract, nobody's trying to match Dak Prescott's contract now. Nobody's trying to surpass that.
Yeah.
And I think what you're seeing is, and I'm going to relate this back to the NBA. I think what you're seeing is teams know that you handcuff yourself. The 49ers knew, man, if we pay Brock Purdy $65 million a year, we're going to be handcuffed to the point where we are not going to be as competitive as we would like to be. Mm-hmm. How's 53 million annually. It allows us some wiggle room with the cap going up. It allows us some wiggle room to continue building. I kind of wonder if teams are seeing what's going on in the playoffs right now. Oklahoma City was not built through finding a star. They found one in Shea, but they did not gun for a superstar. They brought in Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. They drafted well. They developed. The Pacers, again, we see Tyrese Halliburton elevating into that superstar realm, but that's not what they're predicated on. They're predicated on depth and defense. You see that with Minnesota, who have now been to back-to-back conference finals, where it's depth and shooting. And again, they have Anthony Edwards, they drafted him, and they brought him in. He's a superstar for sure. But when it comes to the Giannis thing, if you told me the Kings could add a point guard, a good point guard, a capable point guard, and two rotational wings and bring back Jake LaRavia, I would almost rather do that than gut a team for, and again, the Kings maybe not specifically, but I kind of wonder if a team would rather do that and be like, yeah, we're going to build out some depth and we're going to give ourselves a 2 or 3 year window with this depth instead of just gutting everything, getting Giannis in the building and going, okay, now let's figure it out because congratulations, you've become the Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks just got eliminated 3 years in a row in the first round.
Right. Congratulations. You have this superstar. I know it's really, really hard to build around that guy.
Yeah.
That's where, because if he, Giannis got hurt a couple of those years. And all of a sudden, you're one guy that you're banking on, the Warriors with Steph Curry. One guy you're banking on gets hurt. It's like, all right, well, you're toast now.
I think advanced team building in the NBA is so difficult.
Yeah.
And that's where taking over midstream, Scott Perry is from what a team that was built and now is caught in the middle between a full teardown and can you make tweaks and build it back up?
Yeah.
A mid-level player is not going to save this team.
No. There,
and to be honest with you, we can look at all the mid-level players that are going to be out there. There's not one out there that's going to be as impactful and can change everything.
We'll get into some names in the next segment.
Yeah. I mean, there is something to the fact that OKC and Indiana, both of those teams, their star player was acquired as a very young player in a trade.
For a better player at the time.
Yeah, for a better player at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, the fact that Domantas Sabonis and Paul George were, the big pieces to acquire those players, I think the Kings are in a better situation than, the Clippers were because the Clippers gave up so many first-round picks. They're still giving up first-round picks for that trade.
Yes. That trade is not complete yet. The other thing the Thunder did is, after making that trade and getting all those picks, one of those picks was Jalen Williams, who's an all-star, all-defensive player and looks like the Robin to SGA's Batman.
Yep.
That's nice.
No, you have to stick with the system. You got to give people an opportunity, but then you also have to look at when you give someone an opportunity and you have to look at where they're heading and say, "Okay, that's not where we're going anymore."
Yeah.
And then
it's a good point.
And then realistically, you got to back away and say, "Okay, this is not We're just going to shut down for the rest of the season. We're going to play the season out, but we're not doing that anymore. You're not going to be making the decisions anymore. And I think that's going to go down as one of the biggest issues that we see here. It's that they didn't leave the cupboards bare. They did leave all the draft picks, right?
That's true.
But on the way out the door, you allowed them or told them to go out and trade De'Aaron Fox, your best player, and to go get a player who now there's a bunch of question marks about in Zach LaVine. And it, you know, I think, again, Zach LaVine's a very good player, but building a team around a point guard and De'Aaron Fox and a center and Domantas Sabonis is a lot easier than building a team around a shooting guard.
Sure.
And
or if you had a De'Aaron Fox to trade this offseason, if he was like, I'm out, I'm done.
Yep.
Nothing changed over the last 50 games or 40 games or however many games it was. Nothing changed over the course. I guess Doug did 51 games. So those last 30-ish games, nothing changed. He still wants out. Okay, cool. That would be a much better way to have to go about this offseason than where they're at.
Yeah.
Just kind of stuck.
Yeah.
We'll get to some of the names, though. Some of the wings that are available, potentially available in free agency. We're going to continue trying to put together a Kings offseason that at least gets them moving in the right direction. Moving in the right direction toward winning sustainably. We'll keep talking about that. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Now, we'll have some NBA playoff talk coming up too. Pacers-Knicks. I got to talk about that one tonight. Because that's not a game I'm turning off.
No.
Watching every second of that game. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil at the home studio. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil at the home studio. Yeah, so we were talking about at the break on YouTube with the Chatty House, youtube.com/ESPN1320, if you'd like to participate with the show there. Me and my dad are going to Chicago, and we're doing the Wrigley thing. We're going to go see a game at Wrigley, and then we're going to go to Fenway. We're going to watch a game at Fenway. It's both of our first times going to either stadium. Super psyched, right? So you asked if we were doing the tour of Wrigley. So I looked that up on your recommendation. And, can I restart this computer now? I'm going to do that. We're in a long segment. I'm just going to restart this now and hope that doesn't break anything. All right. So, yep. I'm just doing it.
Good for you.
Not going to bother engineering for them to go, yeah, just click it. Here we go. So I looked it up on game days because we're there the days we get there. There's games both days we're there. On game days, it's the same price as the full tour, but it's like a limited version of the tour. You don't get to go to the wall. You don't get to go. You get to go on the field, but you don't get to go in the dugout.
Oh.
You don't get to. You basically just walk around the concourse, and I think you get to go on the field briefly.
Okay.
But there's a non-game day tour, which is like locker rooms
or
clubhouse, dugouts, Ivy, like all this really cool stuff.
Yeah, the media, the
press box.
Press box.
Yes.
And Harry Carey's spot.
Right.
I mean, it's incredible.
It sounds so cool. And they don't do that on game days.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if Fenway has the same thing.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
We'll take a look. But there's also a bunch of nerdy historical stuff in Boston we want to go do.
Oh, totally.
So we're gonna knock a bunch of that out. But we were hoping that the Celtics would be in the finals, not just for our dear friend Jesse Tapia, but we were hoping that the Celtics would be in the finals because game three of the finals was the Friday we're there.
Okay.
Friday or Saturday. But one of the days we're there, it was like, oh, we're going to go find a bar and we're going to go be Celtics fans for the night.
I even have a bar for you.
Dang it.
Mike Zarin.
No, they're not. I'm not going to a bar in Boston to watch Thunder and Pacers.
No, that's
true.
But right across from the arena is like an Irish brew pub.
My kind of spot.
Yeah.
Might get that name from you anyway and go track it down.
I absolutely love both those cities. They're great cities, but I've been there for like very specific things.
Sure,
So I haven't caught games in either city.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the games are obviously our number one priority.
Yeah.
But we gave ourselves some extra time to explore a little bit. So can't wait.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I'm envious. That's a good trip.
Yeah, really, 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 really fun. I'd like to do that. Can't wait. Anyways, what were we talking about? Oh, wing names, because this Kings rebuild that's going to... What are we calling it? Retool? A rebuild? A reset? Because they're like picking a new, different, maybe direction,
I think we have to figure out what they do.
It's a good point, actually.
Because as of right now, I don't know.
All right, this Kings off season.
Yeah,
this Kings roster management.
Yeah, I think we're going to learn a lot, really quickly, but, the Kings have to decide whether, they are a team that is just going to play out this string with this group of players and, somewhere in the next, 12 months, Domantas Sabonis will ask out, or if they're a team that's going to build, if they're a team that's going to let, the contracts of DeRozan and LaVine expire in 1 and 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then that way you get a true roster reset where you can start building things again. Because as much as it is about draft picks and stuff like that, the Kings have put themselves in a situation where they're not a salary cap team, where they're not a team that can go out and sign true free agents outside of a mid-level exception at $14 million. So that's an awkward position to be in as well. It's not just about, hey, how many draft picks do you have? So you have to decide. You've got 9 draft picks over the next 7 years once you hit July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of what you're going out and shopping with? Or are you looking at that and saying, we have 9 now, but I would prefer to have 12. And let's see if we can front load. So, got an extra pick in 26, an extra pick in 27, another pick in 27, and an extra pick in 28. And then maybe we get lucky and move up in the lottery. That's your team that has to decide that right now. I think
we don't have a name for it yet, but whatever the Kings are going to do to their roster this offseason, they're not fixing it in 1 year. Whether they tear it down or decide, hey, we can Domantas Sabonis and Zach LaVine and Keegan Murray is the core that we're going to try and open a 4-year window with, or whatever it is, and then go from there. That 4-year window is not going to start until, if they do everything right, it's probably not starting until next season after the upcoming one.
Yeah.
Where we feel really good about, oh man, they've made all the right moves, they pushed all the right buttons, and here they are.
Well, yeah, but we say that, and then, weird things happen.
Weird things do happen, no doubt. But in outside of, oh wow, they made this trade for, they brought in Cam Johnson and Giannis and didn't give up Zach LaVine or Domas, and oh my God, watch out for the Kings. Maybe.
Yeah.
But I think in the realm of I don't want to say reality, because what you said is reality, but in the realm of let's not be crazy for a second. It's just going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to take out the possibility of some crazy haymaker that everyone's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe the Kings just did that. And then they do it again. And you're like, oh,
sure.
Okay. Now you're cooking.
Sure.
There is a possibility.
What an example, please.
There's a possibility. Let's say the Kings do something crazy. They trade Zach LaVine and 3 first round picks for Ja Morant.
Okay.
And now you're like, oh, all right, now what happens? And then let's say they get done with that deal, and now your backcourt looks more balanced, because you've got, Malik Monk, and you've got Keon Ellis and, Devin Carter.
Mm-hmm.
You still need a backup point guard, stuff like that. Let's say you turn around and you trade DeMar DeRozan, and you come away with, again, you give up a first round pick, and you come away with Cam Johnson. And then you go out in free agency, because again, you can work these deals that I'm talking about are net neutral in salary cap. They're going to cost you first round picks.
Sure.
So now your 4 first round picks out of your 9 are gone. Mm-hmm. Right. But then you go out and you add a Dorian Finney-Smith in free agency. You make a move.
If he opts out.
Yeah. If he opts out, you make a move to trade for a Naz Reid or something, and all of a sudden the Kings go boom, 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 and they build the thing out. And so there's always that weird possibility that those things happen. Now, all of that's pie in the sky.
Sure.
Right? But there is pathways to, or there's potential pathways.
Okay.
And I would tell you this, like the Kings have the 27 San Antonio Spurs unprotected first round pick. There is no guarantee that San Antonio Spurs are good by 2027. Realistically, they have the 2031 unprotected first round pick of the Minnesota Timberwolves. So in addition to that, all of their picks are once again looking like some of the most valuable picks in the draft, mm-hmm. like they always have. The yeah. Kings are always in this situation
right.
where people are like, man, I would love to get a couple of Kings first round for picks because sure. those guys aren't going to be very good.
For sure.
So there's a potential for that. So we're not just talking about 9 first round picks. 8 of them are full-fledged, you could go unprotected first round picks.
So what you're saying is if the Kings don't have a big offseason, then it's ineptitude from the front office.
No.
That's what I'm hearing.
No. Because you have to decide who you are.
Sure.
And again, if I'm the Kings, I could go, I could see this thing playing out two ways where you're like, okay, we got DeRozan for one more year. Let's just hold on to him and then we'll bite the bullet on the final year that we'll just pay him the $10 million. But when the salary cap at that point is going to be $185 million, it's like, okay, mm-hmm. who cares about $10 million that you're flushing out for one season?
Sure.
And then you've got one season left of Zach LaVine and you're telling people, hey, like, look, we got a $49 million expiring contract. Mm-hmm. Who wants in? Maybe you do your reset then. The problem that you have is this Sabonis situation that like Domas is not just going to say, hey, I'll forego the next 2 years of who right. I am as right. a player in order for you guys to just be bad. And, mm-hmm. and I'm going to have to be the one who's stuck holding the bag. You're going to put me out on the, yeah. on the billboard. You're going to run me around town like I'm Brock Purdy.
King's social team needs to get working on those IG posts.
Yeah, and I don't have Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel to throw to anymore. That's what it, you know, he doesn't have yeah. De'Aaron Fox or you know, LaVine or, like, whatever. Yeah, right. Like, it would be really, really tough. So, like, there are a lot of ways they can go here.
If Sabonis asks out, that, I think, chooses their path for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that would be because you're probably not getting like really awesome players back in that deal. It's probably salary filler and picks.
Yeah, you have to decide
where it kind of.
You have to decide who you are yeah. right now.
Yeah,
like, because the Sabonis thing, mm-hmm. it's hanging out there, but it's like, do you try to build the team he's asking for, or do you realize that there's no way to build that team?
Yeah,
and just go in reverse.
I see a couple of things in the chatty house, and that's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, and Joe Brazil, our producers from the home studio. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is the Insiders on ESPN 1320. D'Lo and KC coming up in 28 minutes. I see two different Blazers-related things in the chatty house, so I'm going to go back to a little bit of a conversation we had yesterday. Russ Dog says Portland should send Anfernee Simons to Sacramento, and Aldrin J says Sabonis for Shaedon Sharpe and salary filler. From what I understand in talking to somebody in Portland, Portland is not interested in moving off of players right now. They like the direction they're going.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. They apparently, I didn't look up to confirm this. Apparently, their books are clear in 2 years.
Well,
like they have.
They'll tell you that, but I mean, Jeremy Grant's contract's still sitting there.
Sure. So it might have been 3 years.
Yeah.
It might have been 2 years after. It doesn't matter. Anyways. They like the direction they're heading, and they're not looking to get off of Anfernee Simons or Shaedon Sharpe, at least not yet. Going into this year. And then I asked about Tomani Kamara because we talked about him a little bit yesterday.
Yep.
And apparently that DeAndre Ayton trade that happened that Tomani Kamara was involved in mm-hmm. only happened because Tomani Kamara was involved in it.
Mm.
Where the Blazers were like, hey, we need him. That guy needs to be involved in the deal or we're not doing it. And then he was all defense this year. He started figuring it out offensively. And I was told that he's the kind of player who, like, there's 4 guys in the league they would move him for.
Yeah.
So anyone interesting on the Blazers is just not available, apparently.
I'll tell you this, too. They have their assistant general manager is Mike Schmitz, who used to run.
Wasn't he on ESPN?
Well, yeah, for years, it was him and Jonathan Givony on Draft Express, and then they moved over to ESPN together.
Right.
When ESPN purchased the product. And then Mike Schmidt literally ran around the world seeing every prospect in every location that you could possibly imagine. That dude has been in so many different countries scouting and watching prospects. That's what he did for a job forever. So when you look at guys like Scoot Henderson or Donovan Klingon or Shaedon Sharpe, or they go out and they trade for Denny Avia, or they, you know, again, the Kamara move, right? Like all of these things. These are calculated moves by one of the true draft experts in the game.
Yeah.
Like
this is a
dude who not only did he go and see players in Italy or in Australia, but he interviewed them and he sat down and he spent the time to get to know players. And it's such a, like that's who you, if you're going to go this route, that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. I would go get this somebody that has that kind of knowledge, and he has knowledge of that for like the last 15 years, not just like he's a draft guy, you know, who posts drafts on the internet. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much value in having a guy in your front office like that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Because not only do you know those guys via the draft, but you know those randos that are sitting on the end of somebody's bench or sitting on two-way contracts with somebody or in the G League.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know what? That guy's way better than whatever. That's what we talked about with Aaron Nesmith yesterday.
Yeah.
The Pacers knew what kind of offense he ran in college and was like, hey, he can't fit in Boston. We think he'd be a better fit here. We think we can maximize what he's doing. Let's make sure to get him in our building.
Yep. And in the meantime, he developed into a really strong defender.
When all of this stuff, by the way, goes back to the Kings, because this is what they need to be doing. This is the big trades are there. The big signings are there. But then can you find those couple diamonds in the rough? Can you find a Keon Ellis type who's 6'7"?
Yeah.
Can you find an Aaron Nesmith that's on the, or Tumani Kamara, who's on the end of somebody's bench, who's not getting an opportunity somewhere, who, you know what, hey, he would fit really good next to Domantas Sabonis and Zach LaVine and Keegan Murray. Let's get him in our building and see if we can maximize him.
Yeah.
Like that's what it's going to be, man.
Yeah.
Be tough.
I'm really intrigued to see how they build it. And that's why, you know, again, like I think Scott Perry's a really smart hire. But you have to support him the right way. Like BJ Armstrong, smart hire. He knows a lot of players. He knows a lot of people.
Sure.
He's been in the business a long time. But you also need some of these other pieces that, you know, the true draft and scouting guys. And hopefully you've got them.
Yeah, man. No handoff today. FYI.
Okay.
Just learned that. Where was I going? No handoff today. Oh, real quick before we move on. The A's lost again last night or yesterday afternoon. They've lost 9 in a row. They have not won a series since they took 2 out of 3 from the Marlins on May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Yeah, man. And if you're watching the games, they're close early. Their bullpen is trash.
It's so bad.
I heard a stat yesterday while watching the game. They are tied with the Yankees with grand slams given up this season with 5.
Oh.
All of those are in the month of May.
Oh, my God.
They've given up 22 grand slams in the first 22 days. They've given up 5 grand slams in the first 22 days of the month.
Oh, my God.
And so they go from being right in a game to 10 to 5. Because that's what they keep losing by. 9 to 4, 10 to 5. And it's because they give up these crazy home runs out of nowhere.
They beat the Dodgers 11 to 1. And that's the last time they're hitting and pitching all locked in on the same day. Because then you have losses. These are all their losses. 9-3, 19-2, 9-1, 1-0, 3-2, 4-3, 7-5, 10-5, 10-5.
Yeah.
Like the offense is there. 5 runs a night. You score 15 runs across the 3-game series. You think, okay, we're winning at least one of those. Nope.
Nope.
Just can't get enough outs. Luis Severino, really good. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's the bullpen, man.
It is just...
That's what happens when you don't spend any money on your bullpen and you just think you're going to fly throughout the season and pick up guys who get waived by their DFA guys.
They've had some success with that in the past, but man, when you're going into a year and you're like, hey, that bullpen's not going to get outs.
Well, yeah,
you got to fix it early.
And they keep bringing guys up and they go like 10 games without giving up a run and then all of a sudden, boom, gone.
You want to know the good news for the A's? Starting tonight, they have a 3-game set against the Philadelphia Phillies, who have the best record in the National League, and they're a half game back of the Detroit Tigers for the best record in baseball.
Yep. Tough.
Man.
Tough look.
Man. Get out there, though. If you have not gotten out to an A's game yet, get out there to watch them play the Phillies. If you're not an A's fan, the Phillies have got a lot of dudes that are really fun to watch. That's a very, very good team. They could very, very well win the World Series this year. So get out to Sutter Health Park. 3-game set. A's, Phillies. See if the A's can snap that 9-game losing streak. Maybe you can be in the building for it.
All right.
We'll keep talking hoops next. We got an awesome Pacers Knicks game tonight, 4:30 right here on ESPN 1320. We'll dive into that. We'll dive into some of the stuff from the game last night that we haven't gotten to yet. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Well, it's a good thing. Hang on.
Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, James Hamm's there. I'm Kyle Madsen. I lied to you guys earlier. I'm so sorry. And Jesse, it's a good thing your mic wasn't on.
I was in program one.
Because you were in program one.
Yeah,
because
I was talking. I was like, wait, I'm not hearing myself. Like, this is weird.
Same thing.
Yeah.
That's my bad. That's on me. That's bad board offing on me. You're here. Yeah,
take a lap.
Yeah, fence him back. I'll do it after. I'll do it after practice. That's Jesse Tapia. It's the 11:45, which means
it's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's Jesse Tapia.
Hey, Jesse.
What's up, guys? Happy Friday.
Yeah, same to you, man. Yeah.
I need the old intro back.
I always think about the old intro. That's why I was laughing right now.
What's going on, man? I'm just gonna email the sound guy. And that way it comes from me. I don't want Charlie to feel like it's on him.
Yeah.
I'll email the sound guy and have him remake it.
What's up, guys?
Taking it right up the middle is so crazy.
That was crazy. that was crazy. So
nuts. All right. Here's the our guy, our friend. I shouldn't say guy. I don't know. It's a guy. Our friend Cheyenne.
Cheyenne? Atari?
Cheyenne?
Our friend.
Cheyenne Atari.
Cheyenne Atari.
The homie SA said that Brett Siegel, I believe from Clutch Points, said, quote, Drew Holiday is a veteran player the Sacramento Kings have interest in, sources said. Scott Perry was a fan of Holiday when he worked with the New York Knicks. I have no doubt that Scott Perry, when he was with the Knicks, was a big Drew Holiday guy. But that was also several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse is the resident Boston Celtics expert.
Drew Holiday is great. You'll love him. You'll love Drew. He's great.
Hey, a couple firsts for him?
Yeah, he's a champion. 2-time champion. Couple firsts, maybe. You love him. Nah, Drew, he's
he looked
like,
old,
he's,
dude.
He did. He is. He's still really good defensively.
Relax, he's 2 months older than I am.
Well,
in basketball years, he looked old.
We need to have a conversation about you as well. But no, but like Drew's still really great defensively. He's still a good playmaker. He's just not really much offensively as far as scoring anymore.
And he's owed $104 million over the next 3 years.
Golly, man.
Yeah.
I feel like the Celtics are in a spot where they're going to be looking to dump salary.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll pay that tax bill if you're a title contender, but I don't think they probably are without Jason Tatum.
Well, they've said like the reason why if they are going to make like moves and all that is not because of the tax bill. It's just more so like, oh, your first round pick is locked up because of what reasons the
right.
CBA is and stuff like that.
Yeah. So that's I should have said the aprons, not the tax bill. But if I feel like if their teams are going to know that, and there will be teams like, yeah, we'll take Drew Holiday, but it's going to cost like, we're not just taking Drew Holiday in a direct money for money swap.
Yeah.
Like we're taking Drew Holiday and we're going to need picks.
I don't think Drew's that bad though. Like where his value's just tanked. Like he still could help a contending team and all that. It's just a matter of the Celtics have reached a point where there's no place for him. Like
he could help a contending team. I don't think he's making the Kings contenders.
Casey said yesterday he thinks potentially they could be top six with Drew. What do you guys think?
KC was over optimistic about the Kings. Get out.
Okay. Call what you want. He said potentially. I didn't say they would be. He said potentially.
Okay.
If you throw Domas out there.
There is a way in which Drew Holiday works with the Kings, especially playing alongside. Because we keep saying this, like, there's such a huge issue about finding the right person to put next to Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get Drew Holiday without like, again.
This is like a DeMar for Drew swap, something like that.
But the problem is you're still, now you don't have a small forward. So unless you're moving Zach LaVine to the small forward spot and you're starting Keon Ellis, now I'm getting a little bit, but again, offensively, that's not enough.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're caught in this catch 22. But Drew Holiday's nicknames, which is one of my favorite things that we ever do.
Oh, buddy, I don't think we've ever done this.
They like,
at least with Drew Holiday.
Okay, no.
Basketball Reference nicknames are insane.
No, yeah, I know this segment for you guys. So it's always something crazy.
Have you seen any of them?
No clue what you're going to say next.
So Jay Holla is one.
No chance. Yeah, no one's ever called
okay.
him.
Okay, that
not over here. It's not
Jay
like
Holla. Jay Holla tried to sell me a mixtape at the Shell on Arden one day.
That's right. The next is the Druth, like the truth.
All right,
but
that's
the truth.
We'll be sending a cease and desist for that.
That sounds like a Johnny G joke.
That's right. And then the last one, which I personally love and I think makes perfect sense, is Kung Fu Drew. Because he wears the headband.
Yeah, the headband. I was going to say, that one's sort of, I guess, like no one's ever called him that, but like I automatically thought of the headband, so maybe.
I don't know. If I've never heard of any of the nicknames and you've been in the league for 15 damn years.
Yeah.
Stuff. It's not
Brett in the chatty house says, can White run the point? Debo for White. No, you guys cannot have Derek White.
Yeah, I'm trying for White. Like, if I'm the Kings and I'm giving up like two first rounds,
I'm giving up multiple
there.
Firsts yeah. for Derek White.
As far as I'm concerned, the Celtics can go 20-62 next season and Derek White will average 26 a game, leading the charge or whatever. Derek White's got to stay for me. He's just so perfect. He's the perfect role player.
This is not a bit. Elite three-point shooter,
elite defender.
When Derek White had his kid and play ass haircut on the back of his head, it looked like Gerald from Hey Arnold, and the wind blew too hard and it blew his hair back. When he looked like that, yeah. When he looked like that,
you ever see the close up picture of Derek White when his like he had his hair like that?
No.
Let me see him.
I don't want to see it.
It's crazy. It's like a black and white picture. It's like kind of crazy. Yeah.
So when I see it, and again, I don't say this as a person with a whole full head of hair. Like, my hairline said peace out when I was 21. So this is not judgment. This is like, brother, you need to come home. And I didn't like him. And then he shaved his head and it was like, yes, brother, we are here. And now I'm a big Derek White guy.
Here, I got you right here. I got pulled up.
Oh, great.
What if the Kings went all like weird hair guys?
Oh no!
Just the close-up.
Oh my god!
And then we're tweeting that out for like the starting lineup pick that season too. Like Derek White starting as shooting guard, and this one.
That's harsh.
That's probably what got him to like shave his that go bald.
It had to be.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's not like, bro. Can you? I need that back. Thank you.
I don't want to do my guy that dirty, but
this is crazy.
Respect Derek White, by the way.
Salute to Derek White. He's awesome.
Even the background is like startling.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
No.
Oh, because of the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it like, shout out Derek.
I mean,
salute to Derek White. It would be awesome on the Sacramento Kings. I think if you're listing players that are potentially gettable,
yeah,
he's way at the top of the list for me.
What if they did a three guard set of Derek White traded for Trae Young and kept Devin Carter?
So Trae Young is a Celtic in this situation?
No,
Trae Young is in a backcourt with Derek White.
Oh, okay.
And Devin Carter here in Sacramento.
Hate it as a Celtics fan. Love it for the Kings, though.
Yeah, I would do. Those are two of the guys I would love to see in Sacramento. So
yeah, Derek White's
perfect.
It's
a big time W for me.
And then I like Trae Young.
Scott,
so I'm not as out
make
on
the
them.
Call. I also, the thing that's tough for the Kings with this, whatever we're deciding to call it, reset, their roster management, is I was very pro F them picks in the last couple of years, but now I don't think I'm there. Like for the right players, yeah.
You bring in a player better than Domas or Zach LaVine and I'm for it.
Yeah, right. In that case, yeah, shell out the picks. If it's Derek White and all it takes is you gotta give up a couple of firsts, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think you can just start dishing out picks for randos just to make changes and all of a sudden your cupboard is bare and oh, don't have that pick because we had to attach a first to DeMar DeRozan, but it's a protected first, so now we got to wait to see our... Like, uh-uh.
Yeah.
I don't want any of that.
That's where it's almost like you've got all of those picks. You have to, like, if you're going to take a swing, take, like, a big swing.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
don't
it's like...
Don't half-ass it.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned Trae Young and John Morant the other day on D'Lo Casey of this show. I think, James, like, something yeah. like that. Well, yeah, I don't know. Because if you're going to stick with Domas and Zach LaVine, I'm cool off of just wheel out around the edges and be a playing team. Like, if this is it, then you got to go for it, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. If you're committing to those two guys, then all right, here's your window.
Yeah, I'd rather them just rebuild. 4 years. If this is the case, then yeah, you got to kind of go for it here.
I don't think they're going to rebuild, though.
No, yeah, I don't think so either. So, like, if this is the plan, fine. You got to make a splash this offseason.
Oof. We didn't even get it. I hate that too. Wings.
We didn't.
I'm going to read some of the names. This is all player option, unrestricted, restricted, all that jazz. LeBron James?
Yes.
No, but it's like Chris Middleton, Julius Randle, John Collins got a player option. Dorian Finney-Smith got a player option. Marvin Bagley, unrestricted free agent.
The reunion.
Bobby Portis got a player option.
Yep.
Chris Boucher.
Hey, Bobby Portis wants to opt out and take the mid-level. I would do that. The 4.1, so he'd end up with like a 3-year, $46 million.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd be all over that.
Zaire Williams, restricted free agent? Anyone?
He's at least it's intriguing, but...
Yeah, there's an oof.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's bleak. All right, I'm going to get out of here. James, you got stuff to do. I got stuff to do. Jesse, you got stuff to do.
Yeah, I
got because you're producing D'Lo and KC, which is next. Damian Barling, Kenny Caraway, Jesse Tapia, those guys are going to join you next right here on ESPN 1320. They'll take you up to 4 o'clock, and then at 4:30, Pacers-Knicks, Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Coverage begins right here on ESPN 1320. Again, that's 4:30 for James Hamm and Jesse Tapia. And Joe Brazil at the home studio. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're back next Tuesday. No show Monday. Tuesday, 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320. The Insider is back. It'll just be James with Jesse. I'm out next week. So I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. Everybody have a safe weekend, a Memorial Day weekend. Don't drink and drive. Call an Uber. Call a Lyft. Call a friend. Don't drink and drive.
Don't go swim in the river.
Don't go swim in the river.
Please.
After drinking.
At all.
At all. Or don't go swim in the river, just in general.
Be safe. Be safe is the point. Be safe and smart.
Google it before doing it. Like, should I do this thing?
Listen to your conscience.
Jesse's got it. Insiders. Drink water. Be nice, people.